This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, thank you so much for welcoming me here in Beit HaRilit.
First time?
My first time here in Beit HaRilit, but hopefully not my last time here. Ezes Hashem. I spoke Sunday evening in Yerushalayim. I had the good pleasure to meet tonight's host, Rabbi Elazar Ganut, and he gave me such a warm welcome. That's really what drew me here, to be able to see my chaver again. And we want to thank him and his wife for graciously hosting tonight's event. And may this house always be open for Torah, for Kedusha, in good health. Abi Askel Tzadak. So we have quite a large subject tonight, but I want to just try to encapsulate it in a concise way, because of the lateness of the hour. And sometimes if we learn something, bedvarim kitzarim, it penetrates even deeper. I want to share with you a few basic questions. The Bahag, one of the Rishonim, and we actually spoke about this Bahag Sunday night, but we're going to take a completely different approach this evening. The Bahag gives a special name for Sefer Shemais. Bereshis he calls Bereshis. Vayikra he calls Taras Kayanim, the Book of the Kayanim. Bamidbar he calls Chumash HaPekudim, the Book of Counting. Devarim he calls Mishnah Torah. And he calls Sefer Shemais a rather unique name, a very, very creative name. You ready for this? He calls Shemais Chumash Sheni, Book 2. Which obviously is a rather strange name for Chumash Shemais. Here we have a Bahag. He's a genius Gaon and a Rishon, and he's trying to give a name that encapsulates the entirety of the Sefer, and he successfully has done so for the other four books, and it seems like when it came to Chumash Shemais, he's given a rather bland, sorry to use the expression, name. Is that really the best name he could come up with? What's wrong with Sefer HaGeula that the Ramban says? What's wrong with Shemais? No, Book 2. Why? In Parsha Shemais, Moshe Rabbeinu is given the rather bold task of taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. And he defers. He says, no, please, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And Hashem pressures him, you have to do it. You're the man for the job. Until Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't do it. Shlach na biyat tishlach. Send the one that you usually send. Rashi learns who's the one that Hashem usually sends. Aaron HaKoyen. But Targum Yonis and Menuzil says, no, that's not who Moshe is deferring to. The Targum Yonis and Menuzil says in number 12, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, send the one you're going to send in the end of days, that is Pinchas, Eliyahu. Anyway, he's going to be Mavasar, the Geula, let him take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Question is, just because he's going to bring the Geula and be Mavasa the Geula, why should he then take us out of Egypt? What does one thing have to do with the other? Moshe Rabbeinu is given an amazing task. Why is he not Mekabalit bi'ahava? Why defer to Eliyahu? Furthermore, somebody just told me, he was at a Shalom Zachar Friday night, and he says he knew the person was going to do this. He's going to say all his Haggadah Torah. Because that's what people do, Parsha Shemais Va'irav. I said, look, you know, I do the same thing. These are the parshas of the Haggadah. So let's discuss the Haggadah a little bit. You know, whenever we say Divrei Torah, we say the Baal Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, the unknown, mysterious Baal Haggadah. Who exactly is the Baal Haggadah? We never know. So I was very excited to find in the Haggadah Tzemach Menachem, actually number 13, I hadn't even found it yet when I made the sheet, but it's originally in the number 13 comes from the Haggadah Halekach VeHalibov of Rabbi Avram Shor, son of Gedalia Shor, Rav Gedalia Shor. But it's originally comes from the Haggadah Tzemach Menachem that Rav Simcha Bunim of Pshischa says the Baal Haggadah is none other than Eliyahu Hanavi. In fact, I was once giving the shir and a very chashava Israeli fellow in my shir in Queens said, of course Eliyahu wrote it, because an author always encodes his name in the very beginning of his work. And the first word in the Haggadah is Ha. Ha stands for Hanavi Eliyahu, or Eliyahu Hanavi. So I like that. I will say his name. His name is Ezra Cohen. That was his chiddush. But Eliyahu wrote the Haggadah. So I wondered, Why would Eliyahu write the Haggadah? If Eliyahu wants to write a book, he should write a book about Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel. He could write a book about Hashem's amazing world. There are many things that that Eliyahu could write a book about. Why would he write the book about the Haggadah Shel Pesach? What does Eliyahu got to do with the Haggadah Shel Pesach? A very important clue in answering this question is found in the words of the Haggadah itself. After we say the Dayenu, and we say the 15 Ma'alos Tovus that Hashem did for us, we say, it would have been enough if Hashem did A, B, C, sorry, we're in Israel, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, right? Tezvav, Alachas Kama Vekama, Toiva, Kefula, Umechupelas, all the more so that God has done for us goodness, double goodness, Mechupala. What does Mechupala mean? I don't know, quadruple, triple, something like that. But what does Baal HaGadah mean? Toiva kefula o mechupelas. What is double and triple about the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So, I want to share with you the simple words of the Rambam. It's a Rambam that many people say every day. And I remember when I saw this question, I was like, you know, kicking myself. How come I never thought of this question? The Rambam in the 12th principle of faith that every Jew has to believe. By the way, just as an aside, a very nice idea is also when I was thinking about what are principles of faith? What in the world are principles of faith? Let's say somebody says, I don't believe in tzitzis. So what is he? He's apikaris. Let's say somebody says, I don't believe in any, I don't believe in shatness. I don't believe in tefillin. I don't believe in aliyah l'regel. He's an apikaris. So what do you mean, yud gimel ikrim? Any mitzvah that you deny, you're an apikaris. So what exactly is an ikar? So Reb Chaim says, very interesting yisayid. Reb Chaim says an ikar is, what if somebody never learned and is an Am Haaretz or is a Tinuk Shenishba? But if they don't know the Yud Gimel Ikrim, they have the status of an Apikoyres. Because Reb Chaim said, Nebuch an Apikoyres is Oichet an Apikoyres. Meaning, it's not, if you don't know, you're still a Koyfer. You're still an Apikoyres. But other mitzvahs, let's say somebody knows all the mitzvahs and he doesn't know tzitzis, he's not denying tzitzis, he doesn't know it, he's not an apikaris. That's what an ikar is. An ikar is something, it's not sufficient that you're not denying it. You must believe it no matter what. You have to learn it by hook or by crook. In other words, it's expected of every Jew to have the motivation to seek out what are ma Hashem doyresh mimcha. And that is basically Yud Gimel Ikrim. Okay, so the 12th ikar is, the Rambam says, "Ani ma'amin be'amuna shalema b'vi'as ha-Mashiach." V'yaf al pi she'yis ma'amaya. Beautiful. Gavaldek. We have professional voices here. So we have the 12th ikar. V'yaf al pi she'yis ma'amaya. It's okay. It's a nice group over here, right? V'yaf al pi she'yis ma'amaya. Im kol zeh chakalei. Ready for this question? Rech de briskarav. This is the Rambam talking. The Rambam's not a Tosfos. Tosfos is Tema v'yesh loymar, v'im toymar v'yesh loymar, v'afal gav mikol makayim, v'afal pi im kol zeh. Tosfos asks kashas and Tosfos gives terutzim. The Rambam asks no questions and gives no answers. The Rambam's a poisek. He says, do this on this day, at this time, in this oifen. The Rambam doesn't ask questions. The Rambam doesn't give answers. So what does the Rambam mean? What does the Rambam mean? V'yaf al pi she'yis ma'meya, I have a kasha. Yes, I wait for Mashiach, so where is he? And for the Rambam, I'm still waiting for him regardless. Why is the Rambam all of a sudden asking a question and then giving an answer? This is not the procedure of the Rambam. Says the Briska Rav, and to strengthen the question, does the Rambam ever ask a question? Let's say when the Rambam says, that ani ma'amin be'amunah shalema, she'abar yisbar shamay, Meshalim schar lo isim mitzvaysav, Mesham gemul lo ibri mitzvaysav. Does the Rambam ask, V'yaf al pi she'enir nira kem ibnei she'yesh tzadik v'ra lo ibri rosh lo toib lo mikol mokoyim yesh din v'yesh dayan. Rambam has no kashas, Rambam gives no turutzim. Does the Rambam say, Ani mamim be'amunah shalema she'abar yisbar shamay, Inoy guf v'lo yasigei masigei haguf v'yaf al pisha Torah amra enei Hashem yad Hashem etzalekim yikol mokim dibro Torah kolashem neyadam. The Rambam asks no questions and gives no answers. So why, when it comes to this ikur, does the Rambam all of a sudden ask a question and give an answer? Says the Briska Rav, the Rambam asks no questions and gives no answers. Look at number 18. The Rambam says in number 18 that the future Mashiach, the King Mashiach, is destined to restore Malchus Beis David and build the Beis HaMikdash and gather the outcasts of Israel. V'chomi, on the fourth line, v'chomi she'enoi ma'amin bo, if you don't believe in Mashiach, or mi she'enoi mechak el lebiyasai, or someone who doesn't await for Mashiach, says the Rambam, loy b'toro b'vad hu koifer, he's not only a heretic in the Chumash, loy b'divrei b'shar nevi'im b'vad hu koifer, he's not only a heretic in the words of the prophets, el b'divrei toiras Moshe Rabbeinu, he is a heretic in the Torah itself. The Rambam is enunciating two principles. Principle number one is a Jew must believe in the coming of Mashiach. Principle number two is, here's a guy, or a girl, you say, Reb Yid, Rebbetzin, do you believe in Mashiach? Yes. Are you awaiting his coming? Not really, I'm actually awaiting something I ordered on Amazon about 2 days ago. That's what I'm waiting for, but I'm not actively waiting for Mashiach. Says the Rambam, this person is a koifer. Not that the person is enoi tzaddik or enoi chassid or is not in a high madrega. The Rambam is articulating two distinct chapters in this principle. A, you have to believe in Mashiach, and B, you need to await the Mashiach. Therefore, says the Briska Rav, when the Rambam says v'afal pi she'yisma mea, he's not asking a kasha. He's articulating a second facet of this statement of belief. Number one, we must believe in the coming of Mashiach. Number two, we must await His coming. It's not enough to believe He's coming. We must actively await His coming. That's part of this, of the umbrella category of the 12th principle of faith. Now, if that's the case, if it's not sufficient to believe in Mashiach, but we have to actively await His coming, and if we don't await His coming, the Rambam says, one is a koifer in the Chumash. Where in the Chumash does it say that one has to await the coming of Mashiach? You may be even hard-pressed to find in the Chumash where it says there is Mashiach. But maybe you could find a remes, v'shav, v'kibetzcha, mikalo amim, fine. You'll find a remes to the coming of Mashiach. But where in the Chumash does it say one must await the coming of Mashiach? So I'm going to give you homework. You'll have Rachmanas on me. I'm going to tell you the Briska Rav has a fantastic, incredible, amazing pshat in number 19, 20, 21, and 22 of using Rashi in Hosea. It sheds light on a pasuk in Balak. Okay, I'll tell you. You know what? I'll timna toiv me Balak. You know, I can't push it. Such good chaverim. You have to say. Basically, the pasuk says in Hosea, in number 21, I'm going to be like a lion to them, like a leopard. We were in En Gedi today. Somebody was kind enough to drive us to En Gedi, so I was with my son. My son told me, Daddy, please tell me if you see any leopards, because the sign says you might see leopards. They said, we haven't actually seen them, but we've seen leopard footsteps and different simonim that there were leopards there. So I said, Naftali, the moment I see a leopard, you'll be the first to know. Okay? So the pasuk says, Kinomer al derech Ashur. I will be like a leopard on the road, literally, to Assyria. Ashur means Assyria. But Rashi says, whenever it says Assyria in the whole Tanakh, there's always a dot in the shin. And this is the only exception where it says Ashur without a dot in the shin. Therefore, Rashi says this word Ashur does not mean Assyria. Ashur means to wait in ambush. I will be like a leopard to them that waits in ambush. Says Rashi, where do we find in Tanakh that the word Ashur means to wait in ambush? Like the pasuk says in Balak, Erenu, I see the Mashiach, v'loy ata, but not now. Ashurenu, I wait in ambush for him. V'loy karav, even when it's not close. Says the Briska Rav, from here we learn the second principle of the Rambam, that it's not sufficient just to believe Mashiach is coming. One must actively await an ambush for the coming of Mashiach. Hafla v'fela, pasuk and balak, that we would not have known what it meant had we not come across Rashi and Hosea. But comes the smack, and the smack says, no, there's another pasuk from which we learn one must actively await the coming of Mashiach. And you know what that pasuk is? The first communication of God to the Jewish people ever. Anoichi Hashem Lekecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord who took you out of Egypt. Says a smack, that if God is saying that I took you out of Egypt, what He's saying is, I take you out of Egypt, and you must actively await with anticipation my redemption from any gullus you will be in. And from this pasuk, we learn that after 120, God's going to ask every Jew, Tzipisa li Yeshua, did you await the coming of the salvation? Question. Just because God said, I took you out of Egypt, why does that mean that we must believe He's going to take us out of Gullus Edom, Gullus America, Gullus Yishmael? What does one thing have to do with the other? So God took us out of Egypt. That's ancient history. Why does that incorporate within it the requirement to believe God will redeem us? Okay, you ready? Fasten your seatbelt. So now...
To await.
And we have to actively await it, right? Like you said before, right? What's your first name again?
Yehuda.
Yehuda asked me, I walked in. Yehuda says, so when's it coming? So we have to discuss that, right? Kol mash amr lecha bala bayisa. He's also bala bayisa, right? So when is Mashiach coming? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it's machlekes tanoim between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Lezer says, number 25, B'tishrei nivra oilam, B'tishrei noldu avos. The avos, if anybody wants to come with us tomorrow to visit the avos in Hebron, we still have room on the bus. The Avos were born in Tishrei. The Avos were nifter in Tishrei. Says Rabbi Elazar, "Benisan nigalu uve Tishrei asidin ligal." We were redeemed in Nisan. We will be redeemed in Tishrei. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shua says, "No, benisan nigalu uve Nisan asidin ligal." How do we paskin? So you say, "What do you mean? How do we paskin?" It's not a matter of psak. It's a Hashkafik machlekes. No, the Ran says we paskin benisan nigalu benisan asidin ligal. What a coincidence, you know? Isn't that a coincidence? It just happens to be that we were redeemed the first time in Nisan, and we will be redeemed the second time in Nisan. Isn't that what a coincidence? What a remarkable coincidence! But the coincidence gets even more stark. Because if you call Amazon, sorry for the mush, and you say, when's the package coming? And they say, March. No, you can't run a business that way. I need to know a date. So I want to know, when in Nisan will Mashiach come? So it says in Medrash Tanchuma 27, B'chamisha asar b'nisan nigalu, B'chamisha asar b'nisan asidan ligal. In fact, the Roikach says that we are meramis to this every single day. V'ne'amar ki fada Hashem es Yaakov ugalay miyad chazak mimenu baruch ata Hashem goal Yisrael. 15 words. Why? The geula v'nisan b'chamish asar v'nisan nigalu v'chamish asar v'nisan asidon nigal. Wow, what a coincidence. Amazing. Not only the first time we were redeemed in Nisan and the second time we will be redeemed in Nisan. The first time we were redeemed on the 15th of Nisan and the second time we'll also be redeemed on the 15th of Nisan. But I'm still not satisfied. When on the 15th of Nisan will we be redeemed? Dramatic question, right? When on the 15th of Nisan will we be redeemed? And the answer, the Rishonim say, the Sefer HaManhig, the Aruch HaShulchan, is we have a tradition that in the middle of the Seder, when we open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, bam! We're anticipating that at that moment, He's going to come. Wow, what a coincidence. Same month, same day, same time. What are the chances of that? And the answer is based on an amazing pasuk in Micha. You know, we were just at Micha's kever yesterday in Keval. We had police escorts in Arab village. We had police escort to the kever of Micha. I can't believe I forgot to say this pasuk. But okay, we'll say it now. The pasuk says in Micha, "Ki meitzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim arenu neflois." As I took you out of Egypt, I will show you miracles. Literally, God is saying, "I did miracles for you once; I'll do miracles for you again." However, Rabbeinu Bechaye, in at least six places, elaborates on this pasuk in Micha, and incredibly, Rabbeinu Bechaye reveals to us that the way God took us out of Egypt is going to be the exact way he will redeem us, asalavai. That the redemption from Egypt was the Masei Avoy Simon Labanim to the Geula Hasid of Kal Yisrael. In fact, Rabbeinu Bechai says the same way there was Makas Dam and Makas Sfardeya, Makas Kinim and Makas Avar, Aroiv and Makas Dever against the Egyptians, God will give recompense to our enemies with 10 Makos. And just like we travel through a midbar, we will travel through a desert. And just like there was Kriyas Yamsuf, it will happen to again. When we read about the Makos, we think, okay, you know, yeah, who needs to pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah? It happened 3,300 years ago. This is not about ancient history. This is reading the architectural plans of what we will witness with our own eyes. This is the Masei Avos Simon Labanim. The same way Sefer Bereishis is the creation of the first era of the history of the Jewish people, it's the Sefer HaYetzirah. Well, Sefer Shemais is book 2. It is the creation of the second era of the history of the Jewish people. We know in the Haggadah there's a machlokes. How many makos? 10, 40, 50, 40, 200, 50, 250. Who cares what's the nafkamina, how many makos there were. There's a very big nafkamina. The nafkamina is whatever happened in Mitzrayim will replay itself, will repeat itself in our times, to our soinim, to redeem us, to reveal to us the power and the majesty of the Ribbono Shel. It's not about what happened, it's about what will happen in the future. And therefore, says the Nesivos HaMishpat, that's what the Baal HaGadah means. Alachas kama v'kama, toiva, kefula umechupeles. Every single maka has a duality to it. It didn't only happen once, it will repeat itself. That was the dress rehearsal. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the dress rehearsal for what the geula will look like. And we could say, and I think it's very mustaber in the zchus of being in this house, Hashem gave me a new insight. Why is it so critical to remember the way we left Egypt every single day of our lives? Why is it so important? You can never, ever, ever, ever forget about what happened in Mitzrayim. You know why? Because part and parcel of the Ribbono Shel taking us out of Mitzrayim is the emunah and the requirement to anticipate and await the coming of Mashiach. From now on, every time you say the last pasuk of Shema, Ani Hashem Aleichem, Asher Hoitzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, you're not just thinking what God did, you need to be infused with emuna, what the Ribbono Shel is going to do for us. It was worthwhile driving out here tonight just to understand that. Rabbeinu Bechai says, amazingly, this is not the opinion only of Micha, this is not the opinion of one Navi, I want to show you the words. Rabbeinu Bechaye says in number 40, Ki kol hanaviim maskimim pe'echad, all the prophets agree unanimously shehageulo asida tiyabedimya gula rishayna, that the final redemption will parallel the first redemption. By the way, there are two makos that it says it won't happen again. So how does that fit in? It says by Arba, there will never be Arba like this. So that's very simple. Todas Aaron says, because the only reason Arba was needed is because the Barad suspended in mid-air, so the Arba had to finish off with whatever the Barad didn't do. But lovely, the Barad will be a full Barad, so we won't need Makas Arba. Likewise, Makas B'choyrois, it says, there will never be a scream like this. You know why? Because in the future, it won't be Makas B'choyrois, it will be Ein Sarid L'Beis Esav. Next time, they're all going down. Not only the Bechairis. Okay.
Why the Balad will be different?
Now, we won't need Arba, because the only reason the Arba was needed is to knock off whatever the Barad didn't finish off, because the Barad was suspended midair. But Lasalave, the Barad will do its full job, so Arba will be not needed. Okay. That's in number 47. You could take a look at that when you have a free moment. So it comes out that the miracles of Mitzrayim, we're not reading what happened, we're not reading about past history. It is literally the creation of the second chapter of our history. And as we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, our heart is aflame with emunah about the future destiny of the Jewish people. So So just to point out, you know, the Haggadah Shel Pesach begins what? Shana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. The Haggadah Shel Pesach ends Shana Haba Birushalayim. Now, there's a rule. The way a book begins and ends usually encapsulates what the whole book is about. So one would wonder, considering the fact Haggadah Shel Pesach has absolutely nothing to do with the Shana Haba Birushalayim, why would it begin and end that way? But according to what we're learning, it's very simple. That is exactly what the Haggadah is about. The Haggadah is the manual which created the future redemption of the Shana Haba Birushalayim. Ah, what's your name? So Ephraim wants to say that that's the pshat in the Bahag. That the Bahag is thinking of a name, what would aptly describe Sefer Shemais after Sefer Bereishis so beautifully is called the Book of Creation, and we know it created the first chapter of our history. So says the Bahag, yes, Sefer Shemais is Book 2. That's the sequel. It creates the next era of our history, the future era of our history. And therefore the Bahag so beautifully calls the second book of the Torah Sefer Sheni. And therefore Moshe says, look, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know and I know that what I'm doing now, it's not the real thing, it's the dress rehearsal for Eliyahu HaNavi, who's ultimately going to come and redeem us. So let him do it now. What do I need to practice for him? Let him do it. He's going to do the main show anyway. Let him do the dress rehearsal. And therefore, it is none other than Eliyahu HaNavi, who wrote the Haggadah Shel Pesach, because this is literally the book which will create Lashana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, Lashana Haba Birushalayim Habanuya. So just to conclude, so you'll say it's...
Some places were called Moshe Goel. He's also going to be the Goel Sheni.
Yeah, the Or Chaim HaKadosh, I was at his kever this morning, actually, in a Haraz Esim. Or Chaim HaKadosh says that Moshe will be the Goel Hashemi also. Moshe is Rosh Tevois. Ma? Shahaya? Who? Shigia. So the Archaim HaKadosh says, but what about David HaMelech? He doesn't come from Yehuda. Archaim HaKadosh says, V'hamei v'nyavim. Okay, but that's beyond... Okay. Now, just to conclude, so when we read these parshas, we have to tell our children that we're not just reading about something that happened in the past. This is going to appear and be revealed le'enenu b'karoiv mamish. In much greater, it's going to make what happened in Mitzrayim child's play. The Navi Yirmiyah says, lo ye'om aroid, we're not going to say anymore the God who took us out of Egypt. The future miracles will make those miracles pale in comparison. So you're wondering, what? Hashem is going to do miracles for us like He did when He took us out of Mitzrayim? Even greater than the miracles of when He took us out of Mitzrayim? And maybe we think to ourselves, is that really going to happen? So let me remind you the very simple observation of Rabbi Yaakov Emden that I'm sure we're all familiar with. Rabbi Yaakov Emden observes the miracle of the continuous survival of the Jewish people after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, where the death toll was enormous. 1.1 million Jews. The death toll in the Bayis Sheni was staggering. Even in the time of Mitzrayim, 80% of the Jewish people perished. 1391, 200,000 Jews were forcibly baptized in Spain. 1492, hundreds of thousands were expelled. Chalmanitsky pogroms, crusades. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, after everything that has transpired, after everything we have endured, how can the heretic not be utterly ashamed? Someone who analyzes our station in this world. After everything we've endured, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. By the way, the Chassam Sofer calls Rabbi Yaakov Emden a Navi. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Chai Nafshi! I swear! When I contemplate these miracles, Godloy etzli yoyser mikol nisim v'neflois sha'asa Hashem la'avoyseinu b'mitzrayim. The miracle of Jewish survival is greater than the miracle of the Exodus. And this is before Rabbi Yaakov Emden saw the 6 million who perished in the Holocaust. What would Rabbi Yaakov Emden say today if he saw a Yid in Eretz Yisrael, in Tavshin Pei, what kind of miracle would Rav Emden describe that as? He would say it's Amnes She'en Kal Malach U'Beriyah Yecholim L'Shayar. So if anybody wonders, will God perform miracles for us greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim? You know what the answer is? He did already. And He will, Be'ezes Hashem. So my bracha is, B'Shoa B'Zaycha, L'Shana Haba, B'Rushalayim. Thank you so much. Kol Tov, Bracha V'Hatzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.